I'm finally going to have the opportunity to give a presentation over at LifePath Hospice. As you know, we partnered with LifePath, our festival, offering them a percentage of our proceeds, and they in turn have offered us many volunteers. And one of the things that I try to do with this partnership is I do several presentations every year to hospice, either to their chaplain, students, they call them CPE students, clinical hospital education students. And in this case, on Friday, I met with most of the LifePath chaplains from the Tampa area just to give a presentation on some of the orthodox theology on death and dying and some of our practices, just so they know if they minister to our people, they can use them more effectively. Plus, as someone who is a full-time pastoral work myself, I do enjoy listening to other people give presentations about their Christian faith. And when I got there, the executive director, I guess he is, of hospice greeted me, and of course there offered me some refreshments. They had a whole bunch of food and pastries laid out, and I said, no thanks, I'm just eating breakfast. And while I'm not as careful about what I eat as I should be, I try to avoid snacking, I try to avoid foods that I don't really like when I'm not, when it's not meal time. And he says, it must be hard being a Orthodox priest. Everywhere you go, you must find all kinds of pastries. I said, yes, it is. Just about everywhere I go, they always hand me those cookies covered with sugar, all the cookies, which look really nice, stuck on my black shirt. I try to avoid those at all costs. And he said, you know, Father, I'm trying to adopt the same thing. And he took out a picture out of his wallet, and he showed me inside the e-card, and I said, who's that? That looks much different than the person I'm looking at now. He says, yeah, so that was me 150 pounds ago. I said, wow, you lost 150 pounds, why did you do that? He said, well, I am 52 years old, I had a heart attack earlier this year, and my doctor said, you might have a long and happy life, you need to lose a lot of weight, so you lost 150 pounds. He said, and I said, well, how did you do that? Are you exercising, or is it part of your diet? And he says, you know, the thing that really did it for me was my pastor said to me, you are not giving a good witness to Jesus with your body. And he said, I went home and I thought about that. You're not giving a good witness to Jesus with your body. And I said, not only do I have to lose weight so I can have a long, happy life, but I need to lose weight so I can be an effective minister of the gospel. Not just by what I'm saying, but how I appear to people. So it got me thinking. And the other thing he told me was, he said I joined a 12-step program. I guess I had some overeaters and on this kind of program. He said, I love to eat. And he said, I gotta pray every day before every meal that I eat well, that God helps me, I discipline to pass on things I shouldn't be eating. And he was gonna order me dinner this week for lunch. And he said, you're going to take me to a special restaurant called Season 62, I've been to that before. He says, they got its name because they have entire meals you can eat there for 520 calories or less. He said, all right, well, if you go and see, take a few lessons from you, it's time to lose weight as well. But it's got me thinking about giving witness to Jesus through your body, as he pointed out in the day. Now, in the epistle lesson this morning, it's almost providential when these things happen in the days that they do. The epistle lesson this morning, the very first verse of it, 2 Corinthians, says, you are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. And because of that, God resides in every one of us. We are supposed to look like our temple. You say, well, how can we look like our temple? What's the thing that makes St. John special? Or Holy Trinity, or St. Nicholas, or any other Orthodox church temple? What makes it special? It's special because it's set apart. It's different from all the other buildings in Tampa. It's very different. There's no other building in the city of Tampa that you're going to walk into and you're going to find covered icons. And this building is special because all we're doing here is worship God. We never take the pews out and play basketball in here. We never have a theater production here. We never put up a big screen and everybody get together and watch the Super Bowl in here. The only thing we're doing here is we worship God. paradise would be beautiful. When you look at the icons in the church, and I pointed this out before, so for those of you that are wild card redundancy, but if you look at the icons in the church, you'll notice that a lot of them are fitting with disproportionate features. For instance, in this icon seen here right here on the left side of the church, I like to point that out, especially if you and all the other apostles kind of lost, but that's the one that my eye was first. If you look at that icon, you see that its physical features are disproportionate. The mouth is too small for the body. The ears are too big, the hands are too big, the hands are too big, the head is too small, the portion of the body. That's not because my designer didn't know what he was doing. We paint our icons like that on purpose. Icons are images of holiness, and so if our bodies are temples of God, we want to have them like icons. And so those icons, when we look at them, they remind us of a few things. Number one, part of our body that gives us the most trouble is our mouth. So the mouth of the icon, the mouth of the saint, the icon is always getting small. Now, if we're supposed to talk less, we should be listening more. So the ears are very large. The eyes are very large to see all the good things in God's creation. And the hands are large because we're supposed to be doing good things with them. The heads are small because the head not only houses the mind, but also houses the ego. Times gets out of control for everybody, myself especially. And so if you want to be a saint, if you want to have a body that looks like a temple of the Holy Spirit, study the icon of St. Peter or any of the other saints here and say, I want to look like that. I want to have a mouth that's small, I want to have ears that are big, I want to have hands that are big and do God's work. I want my head to be small, not get too full of myself, and I want to go out and I want to be a witness to God. Perhaps the most important feature on that icon that you should remember is the ears being big. There are so many people in this world that need somebody to talk to. And they don't need a lot of advice, they just need someone to listen to them. In fact, one of the things that I talked about with the pastoral counselors the other day, doesn't mean they don't know, but when you minister to people who are dying, it's really important not to say a whole lot. There's really not a whole lot to say. Someone has lost a loved one, and you just say, I'm sorry. Now, one of the things that this apostle said to me the other day, he talked about giving witness for God, giving witness for God. We don't think about that. We think about many times, you know, the church is about being good. Do this, don't do this, this is good, this is bad, and Christianity becomes sort of like a moral code. But it's more than that. Christianity is two things besides that. In fact, the most important thing is giving glory to God, to understand that God is almighty, and we are nothing in comparison to God. And God is, thank God, we have some greater power than us, who can create us, who can save us, who can redeem us, who can open the doors of heaven for us. We can't battle it up on our own, we can't get through this life on our own, but we have somebody, our almighty God, that is there for us. That's number one. And number two, because this is so great, such great news, we should go and give witness to that. We should glorify God with that. How many of you yesterday wore a shirt for your favorite college football team? I'm not commenting on who won, who lost yesterday. How many people put on some clothes for their college? How many people fly a flag outside their house? Anybody do that? We pay homage to that school that we like, win or lose. If people make fun of them, or they don't make fun of them, or they like them, or they don't like them, we still give glory to that school. So why don't we do the same thing with God? Why can't we give God glory each and every day of our lives? You know, I was watching a baseball game the other night, and, you know, I would never be much greater than preaching to a few hundred people in church. I'd never have a pulpit of millions of people. I wish I did, but it's probably not in the cards for me. But I often wonder if I was to go after me and have millions of people watching me, what great opportunity that would be to give glory to God. And I know a lot of people, they hear the athletes, they win the game, they say, you know, I give the glory to Jesus Christ for that. And people make fun of them. Look at that. People make fun of Jim Tebow as an example. I didn't like him at the University of Florida. I should have liked the University of Florida. That's what I think. But, you know, people make fun of Jim Tebow because he glorifies God. Any opportunity there is to talk about God, he doesn't miss the opportunity to talk about it. A couple years ago, for those who are football fans, Kurt Warner won the Super Bowl. The first thing he said was, I give glory to Jesus Christ. That I won the Super Bowl. That we won the Super Bowl. That God bless me. Please, position that I'm in right now. Do something extraordinary. That God put me here. So I was watching this baseball game the other night. We're watching the Arizona. That's your name. Sorry. And they interviewed one of the Milwaukee people. And what does he do? He uses a very bad word. On national TV. The whole country heard it. And that's the weakest indicator. That's how thankful he was. You know, that's awful. I turned the TV off. I said, that's, you know, and everyone says, oh, you know, it's just him. He's just different. Well, you don't have to divorce that kind of thing. We want to give the glory to God in every chance, every breath that we have, in every opportunity that there is. Give the glory and be a witness to God and show everyone that temple of God that resides in us. If you take the attitude that I am everything, and it's all about me, and I won, and I got the hit, and I threw the strike, and I earned money, and I have possessions, if it's all about me, if I'm everything, then God is nothing. We have to look at it the opposite way. I am nothing. God's everything. Every good gift comes from God. So if every good thing happens to me, I am focused on giving glory to God. Not only am I getting more gifts, but it's going to be an extra witness of what I believe. And if it's all about me, then God's message is going further. I'm not going to give glory to anyone who is to me. So this week, examine the temple of God. Are you giving glory to God with it? Are you giving glory to God with your mouth, and your ears, your hands, and the things that your eyes see, the things that your mouth says, the things that your hands do? Are you giving glory to God with those things? Or are you expecting some need of repair? If it's in need of repair, that's okay. Our temple is in need of repair this summer. Yes, it's a little inconvenient to have the scaffolding in here. But after a little bit of inconvenience, look at the beautiful temple that we have restored. So if your temple is in need of repair, that's okay. That's where you have more prayer and a conversation with your priest. And he spends the time in the Bible and restore your temple, name the beautiful temple that God intends for you. May God bless you and keep you. I hope you have a wonderful week. Thanks for sharing your beautiful liturgy today. Please bow with safety and mercy. I'll pray for you. God bless you.